Yeah. Welcome to season 5 of Sessions.
Yeah, it goes like this right here.
This is the year.
Like,
we get it.
Niggas always be hollering peace.
Season 1 was fun. Season 2, it was cool.
Every time I try to get a piece
season
of mind.
Season 3 was crazy.
Niggas try to get a piece of mind.
And season 4,
so I gotta grab my piece.
Got us ready.
It's the return of the gangsta. Gangsta.
This is the year we return to high stakes. This is the year we get our own place. This is the year we pay back every motherfucker we owe. This is the year. Poker session 42 of 150. A good morning's sleep. The lead up. Last you heard, I was tired. I was on the come down after playing on stream Monday night and playing 10 hours total on Monday. 2 hours in the game I host in the morning, pretty tame 2 hours. And then 8 hours up on stage, and nothing was tame about that. And I played horribly in spots. And then I took it to the streets, which I just have always done my whole career. And come to think of it, I've played horribly a lot full ring in my career. It just gets covered up by the fact that I, you know, can build these amazing games late night and shorthanded. And shorthanded, I'm just fucking good. My lack of patience is a good thing, because I'm just going to fucking go for it. And I got more, you know, fire inside than people I play against, and that's been the case forever. And I just know how to play horrible hands and against super wide ranges and so on. And the pace of the game really suits me. I'm able to get in a rhythm. Whereas if you're playing full ring, you might not get a playable hand for 40 minutes. How the fuck are you going to be in rhythm? It's like you're taking batting practice. You get a pitch every 40 minutes. Oh, you might miss that. But if you get a pitch every few seconds or whatever, you can get in a rhythm. Same kind of thing at the poker table. But I was on the come down, right? I went to that restaurant and got little sleep and came back to the Hustler. And the Patrons heard about this in poker session 41 of 150, which was called Embarrassed. And anyways, That was the last thing that happened in the story. I gave up my seat to Jeremy, J. Boogs Levine, in the 10-20 because I wanted to get him in the game and I wanted to take a break. I wanted to call it an early day, take my L like a man, and go upstairs at the Hustler and get caught up on my phone at least as much as I could, replying to people, setting other stuff up, going when you're hosting games, I guess life is really just, you just get strategic in anything you do. Like, it's been strategic for me playing on stream to play like a fucking maniac. Partly, that's my core, is a fucking maniac. But just, like, to put on a show was strategic. Like, you got to bring something. If you want to be in these games and have this exposure, and that's cool. You better bring something to Hustler Casino Live as well. And I'm trying to do that. And anyways, when you want to host games, you got to be smart with your phone. Although you can't just put people's names in there. How are you going to ever remember? So, and you put Hustler, sure, you could do that. But I prefer to just, I can put 20 people. I can text 20 people at once. So the first 20 people I met, I just put Z, and then space, and then their name, and then something I could remember them by. And I put whether they're like 5510, 1020. So there's all this coding going on in my phone. And that's what I'm doing on this day instead of playing the full 5 hours because I'm just tired. And I wanted Jeremy to play. And then, you know, I ate and just got caught up, a little bit organized. I didn't have my laptop, but it was time to go to the booth. So I got my sugar-free Red Bulls. I was so tired, but that stuff's pretty good. It gives you wings. That's no joke. And it was the ante game. And at the beginning of the show, Mayhem was very unsettled and a little bit irritable. And he couldn't read the board a couple times. And this is so fucking human. This guy's always nice. And he's, I promise you, one of the best players that plays in that game. whether you believe it or not, he just is. I can just see, I've seen it forever. And he's just such a good hand reader that he can, you know, play really bad hands and make the right moves. And he's just awesome. But he was so unsettled, and it made me feel a little bit better about the my session on stream the night before. I was embarrassed. Like, the floating with 9-6 offsuit in the bomb pot was fine on the flop. And then when Casper bet the turn, I should just fold. It was so horrible that I tried raising there. And anyways, I was embarrassed by that. And then, yeah. So then I played that session that sucked. And then up in the booth, I felt good. I just, I'm starting to find my groove as a commentator. I think I know what the job is, to tell the story or to narrate the story that's going on in high definition with and mic'd up, and occasionally take over the story, occasionally insert my like wit and whatever, and then when I don't need to, pull all the way back. And just, it's never about me, it's just all about one show, one story being told, one entertaining night, one escape, the shit I love to do. And I felt good, and Mayhem got settled down and played great, and Jeremy played great, and it was just cool, a really cool game. And when I leave there totally exhausted, I feel good. I feel like I got lost for 5 hours, and hopefully many of the viewers did too. And that's a nice break from your grinds or your stresses, your worries, whatever. Yeah. So then after the show, went to this sushi restaurant called Kanpai. And I want to say it's in El Segundo. But then again, I don't know shit about shit, including places in LA. It might be in Sepulveda. I get those two mixed up. It's something like that. It's really good, and it's open fairly late. And my girlfriend, who's in town, and I go with DJ Melo D. And it's packed late night, and we get a tiny table, and then they move us to a bigger table, and we're drinking heavily, our this gifted musician and myself. And we're having a good conversation three ways, and it's just a good meal, and it's better than a good meal. It was very good. It was very, very good. And yeah, I just really got to decompress. And this is the balance, some balance I get in life, is when my girlfriend's in town, I do fun stuff. Otherwise, I just go back to my room and work. And anyways, so it was nice to have that meal, say goodbye to him, and we headed back to the hotel and tried to watch a show. Yeah, right. Just way too tired. Fell asleep right away, but I woke up fucking wired. Just wired, and that happens if I drink two Red Bull, sugar-free Red Bulls, which I do, and I drink other energy drinks too. And I know it's not good for your blood pressure, and I also wake up because I eat too much beef jerky, which is a great snack as a commentator. And but it's hard on your stomach. And anyways, I didn't know if I was gonna be able to fall back asleep, and I just did. I fell back asleep, and I woke up to my alarm feeling pure. I got a few hours of deep sleep. It felt great, and I got organized on my phone, you know, responding to texts and tweets and private messages and all that shit. Sent it over to Nikki at the Hustler, and I got two games ready. I got a full 10-20 and a full 5-5-10, and accommodated everyone. I feel good about it. Took a shower and jumped in an Uber and get to the Hustler, and someone's in the 10-20 that wasn't on my list. And it's a little bit tilting when you're putting in, it's not like endless work, but it's a lot of organization trying to accommodate everyone. And everyone that ever plays there, I give them the option of giving my, you can have, give me your phone number and you'll be on a list. And then you can text me, and I will, if I have enough time, you can give me any amount of people, and I'm pretty much going to accommodate everyone. I can start shorthanded. I just can figure it out. And so, yeah, one of the post-its was just like crumpled up. And the post that was crumpled up was MGFF. And that's Mark Goon's friend's friend, who's Mark Goon. And he wanted to play. And I said, yeah, I'll get you in. And so it's not the player's fault. It's just, I found out later it was a floor man doing that. And I'm not going to tilt. I'm just going to stop tipping that floor man. And like, get strategic here for this shit to not, it makes no sense for me to tip someone that's working against me. And it's, I don't know what it is, man. It's, you know, maybe you work somewhere for a long time and then someone's coming in and bringing action and you're like, well, we do things differently or whatever. It's fine. I think I have a good solution. I talked to some higher ups about how I could avoid that and without throwing that person under the bus, but I'm just going to not tip them anymore. What the fuck am I tipping them for? That's stupid. And I gave my seat to MGFF, Mark Goon's friend's friend, who is Mark Goon. And I went to the 5-5 tent. So let me take a sip of this Coke Zero and I'll tell you about the session. Okay, at 11 a.m. on Wednesday, April 13th, 2022, I sat down in a 5-5-10, actually a 5-5-10-20 game at the Hustler. So Monday through Wednesday, there's always going to be 5-5-10. And sometimes it's just 5-5-10-20 from the jump. And then sometimes people put the straddle on, sometimes they don't. I think it plays fine without the straddle. That's the point of the third blind. And it's a little deeper, but you know, I'm never going to say no to any amount of straddles. And Aaron Questkin's in the game, and maybe he was the one putting it on. I don't even remember. But I've always liked the straddle because, you know, stacks are deep usually, but they're not in these games, and I'm indifferent to it. I think the action junkie in me likes it, but the person that likes to play poker and likes to be able to 3-bet and do stuff and call 3-bets, well, I prefer to be a little bit deeper, but who, you know, it's whatever. Who gives a shit? I'm just telling you the story that it's 5-5-10-20, and the other game is 10-20-40. And so I get king, jack of diamonds, and I raise, and I get two calls. And it comes queen, 9X with two diamonds. That's a great flop. It was queen of diamonds, nine of diamonds, and X. So I flop a straight flush draw. I bet, someone calls, and the turn's a break, and I bet again, but I sell it correctly, and I have a nice backup plan in case this person has something different than I thought. I thought they had a hand like middle pair, and they thought for a while and folded. And guess what? That was my only VPIP in 52 minutes. This is full ring live poker. Sure, it just was the first hand history I told you, but it was 52 minutes before I played that hand. And that's how you play full ring, I guess. That's why I've never been a fan of full ring. But then I started getting some hands. I 3-bet Aaron Questkin, Mr. Ace King, Mr. AK, with pocket nines. He had a late open, so that's going to be wide. And he called and it came 10XX. I just bet small and I won. I've been talking about how I keep running into the fucking craziest shit all the time. And it's nice to just not run into it. And I called a bloater, multi-way bloater with pocket deuces. I didn't flop anything. Who gives a shit? I'm feeling good on this day because I got deep sleep, which just changes everything. And like, I wasn't tilted really at the floor man too much. I'm just getting strategic. Whereas if I didn't get enough sleep, I'm going to be like, what the fuck? Why are we doing this again? It's simple. There's post-its. Those post-its are people that RSVP'd for the game. And anyways, I just was thinking, well, how can I just work around this? And step one is, why the fuck are you tipping? I'm going to just tip someone else more. I'm a good tipper, but nah, that doesn't make any sense. So I raised fold a couple times. It's, you know, it's a lot of action at the Hustler. And then I have king, jack of hearts, and I accidentally min-raise. I just opened to 30, but there's 20 out there, and it counts. And then someone 3-bets out of position, and I call. If I had opened to a normal size, I might have to fold because we're just not deep enough. But I accidentally min-raised, and this person 3-bet based on that sizing, and I could call. We're deep enough. I have king, jack of hearts, and this person seemed like they had a good hand. And it came ace, XX with two hearts. I flopped a nut flush draw. That person bet. I called. The turn was a heart. What? I just turned the fucking joint. I did. Person checked. Okay, so should I slow play? Should I? No, I should just bet. I can't get anyone to fold anything in this place. So I should just bet. And I did. And they called. And then the river was a brick. And so I still have the nuts. And I just bet a shit ton. And they didn't like it and thought and whatever and called. And the rule is sleep good, run good. And it's true, I felt way different than I did the day before. I felt rested on this day for me. And it's, you know, It's just a little taste of some deep sleep. And then I had king nine, and the board was ace, nine, deuce, ace, ace. And I had bet small, and then the person bet let out big on the river, and I knew they had an ace. And so I slow rolled that I was killing the jackpot. I said, well, I do have tens, but I don't think your kicker plays, and I'm going to fold to the whatever, $300 bet. And they had their jackpot hand, and it was just a dumb, fake jackpot, slow roll, stupid shit that I'm going to do 100 times out of 100 times. Check out this hand for variance and the butterfly effect. And I would like to stop thinking about variance all the time. And I don't know when that's ever going to happen. But when you're in the poker world, you're just going to. You're a poker player. You're going to see it all the time. And check out this hand. I raise with Jack 10, and I get two calls. This cool guy that's action, this younger guy, and Aaron Queskin, Mr. Ace King All In. And I have Jack 10, and it comes King Queen Deuce. And I go ahead and bet here my open ender, and they both call. Okay. And the turn is a fucking nine. Wow. And I just turn the joint again. And Aaron checks, and I got the joint, so I don't bet a lot. And I say, feeler bet, just being stupid. I have the joint. And this kid flopped a set. He has pocket deuces, and now he raises. He didn't raise on the flop. He waited until the open, and he got there. Now he raises. Does it have anything to do with me saying blocker bet? I don't know. Maybe. Maybe he would just call on that turn. But anyways, he raises, and Aaron Queskin folds. And I call, obviously, I have the joint, and he only has 200 left. And the river's a 10, and he checks, and I go all in for his 200, and he calls. And that's when I see he had a set. Well, Aaron had ace-jack, and he was going to call my little feeler bet because it was a small percentage of the pot because I had the fucking joint, and I just was joking around with a feeler bet, blocker bet, whatever you want to call it. And if the kid doesn't raise his bottom set, I lose to Aaron, and my day is starting off shit again. Instead, it's starting off fucking really good. And yeah, I don't know. So now I realize how fortunate I got in that hand, obviously. And when I made the nut flush the hand before, and it's just nice to be on that side. And then I raise with pocket jacks, and another new guy that's cool calls, and it comes 9-8-3, and I bet, and he calls, and the turn's a deuce, and he leads into me, and I just don't believe this, and I don't think too much, and I just go all in. And he calls, and he has short stack, and I hold whatever the board bricks out, and my jacks are good. And the very next hand, I bluff him. Not some great hosting shit. I probably wouldn't do this in the 10-20 because it's more fragile. There's a lot of players that like 5-5-10. But I just bet with queen 10 on 9-5-3, and the turn was an ace, and I get this winning image now, and I can start to play poker like me. And then, so it's nice. I got a nice bluff through with a bet on the flop, and then a bet on the turn, and then I have ace, king of hearts, and there's some limpage, so 5-5, 10, 20, 20, 20, I go to 120 with ace, king of hearts, and friend of death goes to 350, who's friend of death? Well, there's someone in the longtime member of DJF community, longtime patron, Death Eater, and this is his friend, and he's in this game, came out from... He travels between Vegas and L.A., and he goes to 350, and he's an aggro young fucking poker player, and he's friend of death. He goes to 350, and we're 2,800 deep. I have ace, king of hearts. I could four bet and get it in, but I decide, you know what? I'm just going to call and play poker this deep, and because I'm relaxed on this day, and when I'm relaxed, I play poker well, whether I'm relaxed and sober or relaxed. And as long as I'm not stressed, and I just wasn't stressed. And the flop came pretty amazing. King five deuce with two hearts. Holy shit. Top with the nut flush draw. This is some new pro shit right here. This is some reincarnated pro shit for your protagonist. And I just check. He bets the down bet. He's going to do. Yeah, call. Turns a queen of hearts. Oh, I just turn the nuts again. I check. He checks. Okay. And the river's a deuce, praying the bottom card. I check. He bets 700. I really like this line of letting him either bluff or go for value here. And even though the board pairs, I check raise all in, and he snap folds. So he didn't even think about it. So I think I won the maximum taking the route I did. I could have got fucked by doing it, but I liked it. I just, I don't know. Now I limped the button five ways for 20, so 100 bucks in there. And I pocket fives, and it comes 10, 5, 4 with two diamonds and a heart. Oh my God, I'm running like one of these guys on this day. And they checked to me, 100 in there. I bet $50, half pot, 10, 5, 4, two diamonds a heart, and everyone snap folds. Okay, so could have been better. Then I call a squeeze with pocket fives, and it comes queen, 6, 4, and we check. And the turn's a 7 with two spades, and I thought the squeezer picked up a flush draw because he liked this card, and he bet. And this is a guy I already stacked, and then I bluffed. And so that goes in, that factors in too. Like, does this guy want to keep rebuying? How many bullets did he bring? And am I right that he turned equity here? Feels like it. So I just went all in. I'm open-ended with a pair of fives. And he thinks for a while and folds. And he said he had eights. I believe him. So I knew that he picked up equity on the turn. I thought it was a flush draw. I thought it was a head just protecting my hand against, you know, two overs and a flush draw or whatever. But he actually had me beat. And, you know, he just made the fold, and it's the aggression is good, and it's easy to do when things, not everything is blowing up in your face. And then I get pocket jacks again, and hard to get two opens. So he opens a 60. Hard to get is anyone who doesn't give me their phone number, because they're going to be there every day. They want seats. Give me your goddamn phone numbers so I can text you and you can text me. I want to start at 11 in this game. And anyways, it's fine. He's hard to get to. There's another guy. This guy, you know, I've asked twice maybe. And he opens a 60. I go to 200. He calls. I have jacks again. It's 10-7-6. He checks. I bet 200. He calls. The turn's a 10 and he leads 500 quickly. Is this typical behavior of someone who turned trips? It is not. Is this someone who had a bluff catcher and might be good, and now they're just betting, spazzing when the top card pairs? Yeah, I think it is. I think he has exactly nines or eights only, and he bet 500. He has 1,000 back. I don't want to give him a crack at a six-outer, and plus, no one folds to me. So he bet 500 with 1,000 back, and I just went all in, and he called me pretty quickly, and he had nines, and he didn't get there. He didn't hit the six-outer. And I'm fucking stacking everyone and their mother with pocket jacks. And then this cool dude sits down, and he is wearing Poker News stuff, and we talk a little bit. He's high up at Poker News, and he I three-bet with tens. And he calls. He said, I think he said out of principle. And then it came queen, queen, eight. And I bet 200. And he jammed. And I accidentally slow rolled him. I did not mean to. I was thinking the stacks were 200 instead of 100. So it was only like 500 more to call. And you're obviously always calling. It was queen, queen, eight, two hearts. And my tens were good here. And I'm crushing. I'm up a fucking four runner early. And then I decide, I post a picture of it because not like, you know, I played a lot of poker and I just do it for the story mainly. And then I'm like, I'm going to color up. It's ridiculous. I have 9 trillion $5 chips and a bunch of what. I'm just going to color up and get 1Ks and have a normal looking stack. You don't, every time you do this, 100% of the time you color up, it's a color up curse. It just happens every single time. I know it. I'm trying to fade it. And let's see if I can after a sip of Coke Zero. So I have a normal looking stack, but it has like 8 1K chips in it. I'm up a lot. And I miss a flush draw and I make a bad bluff and someone turned trips and I should have figured it out. And my bluff was too big on the river. I only needed to fold out everything that wasn't a six. That's the only thing that would have called the turn. And so that's on me, but also I missed my flush. And then I lose one to Aaron Quest again where he opens. I just call with ace 10 offsuit and small blind. And it comes queen XX, check, check, turn king, check, check, and river break, check. And he had threes. I had ace 10. He won. And I felt like I could have won that pot. I don't like when I could have won a pot, and I don't. I don't like getting bluffed out of pots where I have the best hand. I don't like getting value town. You know, I don't like any of that stuff. And then I have pocket queens. And the action guy that raised with the set has pocket kings, and he's been going fucking bananas, and I lose 1,000 to him. Queens against kings, and I actually checked back the river, and then I got a bluff through finally, and then I dust a few 60s because we're playing 5, 5, 10, 20, and then I accidentally opened a 30 again, and a bunch of people call, and then the stuck Frenchman 3-bets the straddle to, like, you know, what, 200 and 200 and something, and he has 1,100 total, and he keeps running horrible against the guy that just had kings against my queens. And so he goes, you know, and he's going to 3-bet wide here. I have 2 7s. I decide to just get it in. It's 55 big blinds. It's live poker. It's an accidental min raise open and then a bunch of calls. Perfect squeeze spot. And I decided to get it in, and he had queens and he held. The color up curse is fucking real. And then here's the difference between drinking and not drinking, I think. I defend 6-5 offsuit against the guy who had trips, and he's kind of like a nice older guy that I'm going to bluff relentlessly. And yeah, he called with trips, but he's not going to have trips every time. And he opened, and he knows how to play poker. Everyone knows how to play poker now. And anyway, someone called, another new guy that's very cool. Just a lot of cool people come to the Hustler in the day. And I defend with 6-5 offsuit, and it comes 9-9-8. And it's three ways, and I check. And this older guy just bets the flop. Just quickly bets it. That's never a good hand. It's never a hand that can call heat. No, especially since he's up, he can never call. And then the guy on his left, the other cool guy, calls. And I think if I'm drinking, I might just not include the other guy as... Oh, wait, he's probably pretty fucking strong because he just called quickly with no thought. And it'd be easy to, like, go for it and lose some money here. But, no, the other guy's probably just super strong, so you have to fold. You got to take your medicine. You know the and then the turn goes brick, and it goes, like, check, bet, and fold. It's just, you know, I don't know. And then I got up, and I went and talked to the GM of Hustler, Sean Yapo, and said, I'm not mad about what happened again. Just let's figure out a way to prevent it. And we came up with one. I think we'll find out next week. But I'm not high maintenance, I don't think. I just have all this correspondence with all these people on these different platforms, and then I accommodate everything, and I do some juggling, and I balance tables and whatever, and then I send it over to the board girl, and she's awesome. And then it's just a little frustrating when it gets someone just a floor man just grabs a post-it and fucking crumples it up and lets someone who's been playing there for years sit down. If I said I was tilted, I wasn't that tilted. I was tilted the first time this happened. This time I got good sleep. And it didn't come at night. It came in the morning, but whatever. I'll take it. And just talk to Sean and try and figure it out. And like I said, the Hustler, they sponsor this podcast. So you might think I would never say anything about like a floor man fucking up or whatever. But that's just not the case. They probably knew going in that I just tell the story as it is. And overall, it's the best fucking place I've ever interacted with as a player. And they know I wouldn't say that. And so if I didn't mean it. And so when I say it, it carries weight. But also when things aren't perfect, just like in my life, when I fuck up, I say it. And it's just all part of the story. We're just trying to just fill up the crystal room, the really cool high stakes room just below the stage. Why not just fill it up? Why not just get all the action? The rake is lower at the Hustler. It's lower. The fucking food's better. They didn't start buying cheap ingredients like the other places did. And it's just a fucking good vibe and whatever. So that's the story, and that's what I try and do in this podcast, no matter what it is. And I do try and protect the innocent as much as I can. I use fake names and whatnot, and I don't include everything I see. But I played 4 hours, and I won back what I was in makeup, plus a trusty old Lexus. And I don't need one of those anymore, but about what I sold mine for. And that's a really good session. And I was up a shit ton. I lost like 3K after I colored up, maybe more. And I still had a really nice win in that game. And I never went to the 10-20. It was full the whole time. And that's pretty sick that we're getting both games going. And I'm going to take another sip, and then we're going to check out the countdown to 2023 scoreboard. After week 14, so there's only 50 weeks, and we're 28% of the way through the journey. It goes quick. It does. Hold on, let me take a sip, and let's check some scores. Hours. Played 17 hours this week. When I was... These are basically goals. When I was goal setting at the beginning of the year or prior to the beginning of the year, I thought about only goal setting 10 hours a week because I'm just so fucking busy with dropping a podcast 3 times a week, which has become 4 times a week, and everything else. I don't need to talk about it. But I decided, no, I have the way I'm going to get out of debt, I'm building all this stuff up to where I don't stress about paying my child support and alimony anymore. I did for years, and I don't. And I got a place that's nice that I live in. And I think, you know, because I'm putting in all this work and I have all these incomes. And but the way out of debt is to play poker. So I set it at 15, and I thought that was ambitious. And here we got 17. So because I'm playing on stream and because I'm hosting, I'm putting in hours. And what this will lead to is this will lead to me starting to play better poker and at the same time having less poker PTSD, which is a real thing. When you run bad for a while, that stays with you. And, you know, it can go away, but it comes back quick when you run bad again. And if you run bad for an entire year, it's career ending. I've seen it career end. End careers is a better way to say that. I've seen it end careers of really talented players. And I had that year in 2017. I'm just too dumb to fucking quit. And I've invested too much in poker. I'm a cockroach. But I've had a hard time playing since then. And it's getting easier. And I've had a hard time when I run bad. It's getting a little easier because I'm putting in more volume. And maybe it'll lead to me getting back to where I was in my prime, and maybe better because I have more experience now and I know how to do focused breathing. And anyways, that's just, you know, it's pretty cool that I'm ahead of pace. We have 224 hours on the year and the pace is 210. So 14 ahead of pace, trying to get to 750 on the year. I'm confident we'll do it now because I play on stream and play as a host, and those hours are just built in. And the W's, the next line is W's. So every time I win a session, it's +5. Anytime I lose a session, it's -5. I got 2 wins and 1 loss on this week. So that's the pace. That's what I wanted to do. Win 2 out of 3 all year long. That's my career session average. It was way higher the first few years when I played longer sessions and cared more. But 2 out of 3, that's what I got to be close to that at least to justify not doing the mental game stuff, not doing all the stuff Garrett does, right? Of workout, meditate, study, all that shit. Like, no, like I don't do any of that shit. I work and I create content, and that's what I want to do. But if my poker game goes to complete hell in a handbasket, which it kind of felt like it has this month, but I'm winning, so it's maybe I've just been bailed out by variance. But anyways, it's fine. I need one perfect week and I'll be right on pace where I win 3. Maybe that'll be next week where I win all 3. And either way, I'm at 27 wins and 15 losses on the year. It's fine. You know what else is fine? This next line, the Patrons. Let me tell you what happened in week 14 of 50. Well, Mark signed up. And then another Mark signed up. And then Joseph signed up. And then Andrew signed up. Then Brett signed up, and Scott signed up, and Leo signed up. That's 7 new signups. That's 28 points on the board. Anytime I get, I add a Patron, or a Patron fixes their decline card, 4 points. Anytime a Patron cancels, or their card goes bad, it's -4. And then someone who accidentally canceled the week before came back and said, as long as you do podcasts, you got my pledge. pretty sick thing to hear. 4 more points. Andre signed up. 4 more points. Someone deleted for some other reason. It's always... So, I checked my Patreon shit like several times a day. And I see when I get a notification. I don't get an email, but I get a notification on the Patreon page when someone has canceled. And it's always... If they don't put anything, it could mean anything. But a lot of times I'll put financial situation change. And then if they're mad at me for something, they put some other reason. So this just goes with it. This is just collateral damage. I talk so much. I talk 3 to 4 hours a week in this podcast. I talk 10 hours a week as a commentator. I talk 5 hours on stream. And I talk the whole time I'm hosting. And I'm a fucking blabbermouth. So I'm going to trigger someone, rub someone the wrong way. I don't mean to. I don't have any hate in my heart. I'm not any of the ists. I'm not racist, sexist, none of that shit. And I don't believe in that shit. It doesn't make any sense to me. I think we're all the same. But it's kind of like I looked and it was a day when I didn't drop a pod. So I was thinking of Friday, like you got fired on your day off. It used to be only someone would quit when I dropped a pod and said something about one of the presidents, just fucking saying whatever, and someone would be like, oh, that's it for your pledge. And anyways, then Pedro signed up, and Chris signed up, and Brian signed up. Brian's one of the people I've owed money to since 2017 and said, I'm here to support you, and I understand what happened, that you hit the bottom, and you're finally climbing out now, and I want to witness it. That's pretty fucking cool. And then Gurab, and hopefully I said your name right, and Jake signed up. Oh, wow, that's 8 more points. And then someone from tier 3 went to tier 1. That's fine. I want people to start going to the tiers that they use. I think a lot of people were so hit by my story that when I was staying at the fucking roadway or sometimes, like, occasionally, like, yo, I'm just going to drive from Vegas and sleep in the morning in my car before soccer. Those people were, their pledges were higher. And it's just like, because they're heart of gold people. And I'm going to revise the tiers so they all have, that makes sense. But as long as people don't cancel, I don't lose those 4 points. And ideally, I just have like 1 million people at 422. And that would be the best. But... yeah, I'm going to, when I get time, hopefully soon, adjust the tiers, and then I'm going to ask everyone that's been so incredibly generous to go to the tiers that they use, and even though it'll be a big hit to my monthly income, it doesn't make sense for people to be pledging, especially people that don't have money, even if they get a ton of the content in the community, pledging just too high. And so anyways, we're not there yet. Don't start demoting me yet, but getting there, it's happening soon. So, then Troy, Daryl, Eric, and Michael signed up. Holy shit. 16 more points. And then you know who signed up? My little brother, Gaff. I interviewed him. If you go all the way back to season 1 or 2, or maybe both, I interviewed him, and he was part of a session review one time, and that's the link I have left to my family. Not the one I started, but I got my kids. That's my family, and then I still interact with Gaff, and he signed up to be a patron. Shit's pretty cool, and so did Robert. Holy shit! And then the writer from the story signed up, came in with a straddle. And that's going to get them all the content, the forum, and Slack. And Slack opens up a whole bunch of doors with regard to meetups all the time in your various areas, and some gambling, neutral EV stuff. And yeah, and we netted 20 patrons this week. 20 fucking patrons in a week. That's insane. That's 80 points on the board this week. Makes me feel very good, and puts us at 384 points in the year. The pace is 168. We're 216 points ahead of pace on this line, and the pace and the goal is to get to 600. And at this rate, we'll blow past it. And I hope so. I hope we get enough patrons where I can tell the ones that have been around forever, especially the ones that are struggling, like, whoa, go down to like what you use in the community, and we're good. And that's the angle. And I couldn't be more grateful to all the patrons. There's a lot of them now. Holy shit. I just did I posted something on Twitter when I hit 400 patrons. That was a couple months ago. It was like such a milestone after starting this thing in 2019. I think April 2019, I started a Patreon page. And then maybe in February of 2022, we hit 400. We're already at like 460 something. It's working. It's finally working where I'm finally making the comeback, and that's driving more people to want to know the whole story. And like, if I complete the comeback, it's going to be pretty inspirational of someone fucking struggling for years, like four or five of them just scraping by, wanting to give up, knowing you're not going to give up. Remember, I used to have that conversation all the time. Like, I would just lose my little role or whatever, and I want to give up. But I also know I'm never going to give up. And, like, I hated that. Like, I didn't even have that wallowing time anymore, and that used to annoy me. And then I would just figure out something, and the whole story, it's a lot of spew, and it should be used as however you want to. But it's happening now, like, oh, wait, he's starting to play bigger, and on stream, I want to know this story, and fucking A, I appreciate it, and it justifies the time and energy that I put into this podcast. Recording an hour is like going to therapy for an hour. You're going to feel drained afterwards in a good way, but it's going to take a lot out of you. And I've needed therapy. I needed it my whole life. And I didn't know that until I hit rock bottom. And then I started figuring, oh shit, I'm fucked up. I got some serious issues. And I kind of knew it as I was approaching rock bottom. And I had these angels come in my life. And one of them happens to be a mental health expert. And I learned from him. And then I can share it with the world. And I can just talk about the shit that I've been irrational about. I've been fucking evading my whole life. And it's just some early traumatic shit that some people don't want to hear about. And I just decided I don't care. I need it. And other people need it. Other people out there need that connection, that solidarity. And so do I. And I don't know. I've talked about my third rise, and that's what this is. That's what Sessions is, my third rise. My first rise, I was a new pro. When you're a new pro, you can play good. You're not going to lose focus, and you're going to get every new pro gets that new pro distribution. I played seriously since the boom, but it took me 3 years to run good. I just ran like lame for the first 3 years of the boom, still was winning money, and then I ran like the sun starting in 2007. And I just ran that way for 4 years and obviously played very well and was focused at least the first couple years. And then you're rich for the first time in your life. And so it's hard to play as focused. Like, who gives a shit? Like, you're all in for 3K. I have a flush draw. It would be sick to bust you right now, you grinder. And I know you got aces, and like, so you just make bad calls and just because you're gambling. But anyways, my first rise was just, I was serious fucking pro. I was workout in the morning, work on my game every day. That was me for years. And that lasted about 4 years as a new pro. And then my fifth year, I won way less than I was used to winning. And that busted me. I still won 60K or something. And that busted me. It wasn't enough. I was used to spending like way, way, way more than that. And that was my first taste of, as a pro, really running bad. I probably had a taste of it when the boom started for the first 3 years, but I didn't have anything to compare it to. I didn't have a Sun run to compare it to, so I kind of forgot about it. And then for 4 years, run hot. Fifth year, don't run hot. Still win because I'm a soul reader and I can do some things when I'm thinking about the game and locked in and relaxed. I'm just going to be a winning player forever. And that was my first taste of it, though, as a pro. And then 2012 was, okay, it's time to come back. You got another kid coming, and holy shit, you need to get your role back up. And I was just a man on a mission. I only had one kid, but I had one coming. So I just, I would drive anywhere for a game, and I played sober, and I would go to Commerce all the time, and I'd play 5-10 when it was full ring, because I know full ring's not for me. It's just not. It never will be. Putting the straddle on helps, but it's shorthanded for me, right? That's just what I was made to play, shorthanded, no limit, live. And anyways, I would grind like all day, and in the full ring 5-10, and you know, just because it was a softer game and my lack of patience wouldn't be as big a deal. And then at night at 2 a.m. or whatever, when the 10-20 got short, I'd go there. And then I finally caught a break one night in a really sick 20-40 game, just had the nuts and won a huge pot. And then started drinking again. And you would think I started drinking heavily again a year of not drinking at all. I think maybe four times the whole year, I was ready to decompress. And you would think that I just, that I would have a big downswing there. It was the opposite. It was actually my biggest upswing ever, 2013. Just drinking a ton, decompressing, just falling into my old ways. But like, I was really thirsty after taking 2012 off, and I had money again, and just gonna torch it off, be, you know, in good ways for sure, take care of a lot of people. I just played heads up in 2013, like drink as much as I want. That's fine. Like, I know I'm not gonna have any hand selection. We're done with that in my career. And so let's just play heads up. And I played everyone, and I fucking destroyed everyone. And, you know, obviously ran hot, but also I think I'll always love Heads Up, No Limit. And that was my second rise. And that lasted, That lasted 5 years. Even though I was starting to spiral, even right at the beginning of 2013, I took that year where I didn't drink and I just grinded and fucking worked on my game again and all that shit. I was already a vet. I thought I was getting out of poker before that. And then I really started to spiral, but I kept winning. And then in 2017, finally had my first losing year. And it was devastating. That's when I hit rock bottom in life and in my in every single way. And it seemed impossible to come back from being $250,000 in debt and having these expenses. I knew I needed to finally initiate a way long overdue divorce, and that's not on anyone. That's just life, and if you can't understand that just happens, and for different reasons, well, then that's fine. I challenge your critical thinking abilities. And anyways, it seemed impossible, man. Like, no money, and you got these angels coming in your life to help you and keep you propped up, and then the patrons started flowing in the next year, and it's just been a fucking crate. The first time was easy, the second time was not that hard, and this time's been hard. I didn't want to do it just in poker. I couldn't. I was spooked by variance, and you still hear it in my drops. I'm spooked by variance, and I really, beyond that, I still could have put in the hours, and I would have got it done. But I needed this therapy, man. I needed to talk to someone or thousands of people like several times a week. And it feels good. And I got, you know, it also feels good to know that you're doing something for someone. Whereas you're not doing that at a poker table. You're taking. And that's why I got into content in the first place. I just didn't feel any satisfaction. So I wanted to write and entertain people that way and tell my story. And that's how I started on 2+2. And then with you know, I started working for Dave when we started that Solicit Advice podcast. That was to help people. That was to help David. He wanted to reach people through me. I had a following from 2+2 and then sessions. And I just, it would have been wise several times to say, fuck this content. Get, play 40 hours a week and you'll be back up in a year for sure. Because that's just, and you'll get through your poker PTSD, but you'll be fucking miserable and you won't have worked on yourself. And when you get back up, you're going to fuck it up again. I knew that inside. I had to go this route of, no, I'm going to go a different route. I will start playing better poker and take it more seriously, but it's not going to be the main thing. The main thing is going to be content, is enriching people's lives. Holy shit. And I've been addicted to the love I get from this podcast. And it just, I think it started with that first, the main event in 2019. That was a big turning point. People already liked the pod, but the love I was getting, I said it was the best week of my life. It was, you know, I'm not counting like when my kids were born, but the best week of, like, I never felt like that shit before. And so this justifies it, man. All these people saying, I'll kick down $422 a month to hear the whole story. It's a very fair transaction, and yeah, it makes me feel good about not playing great in poker, because that's the plan. I plan on like enjoying myself at the poker table as I make complete this third rise and like entertain fuckers when I'm playing and commentating and potting, and my company has a good vibe to it too. And maybe when I'm out of debt and flush again, which has been the goal the whole time. Not that I care about money, but you do need some financial security, and that's flush. And maybe then I will take one more run at, like, okay, I'm going to work on my game again. I'm going to prepare for sessions. And if it's even available for me to play as big, like really, really big, and against whoever. Maybe, I don't know. At this point, I'm just enjoying that I'm getting there in a more sustainable way, in a more healthy way, in a way that feels fucking good. So, yeah, that was the Patron shit right there. Poker Rags, do you know who put points on? So, my startup's Poker Rags, pokerrags.us, and we sell all the Hustler Casino live gear, and we sell some of the high-stakes poker productions gear, and we work with other people, Raising the Nuts, Marley, Check Raise Charles, 08 Grinder, and one of the people we work with is DGAF. That's me, and so I got my own page, and I've been slacking this year on selling shit. I probably need more designs, but it's not urgent. The company's doing well without my podcast carrying it for the first year. And that was my whole goal of, you only get points when you buy my shit. Is I want this company to grow up. And so anyways, no one bought any of my shit again. So 0 points, obviously no MVP. And we only have 37 points in the year. And the goal is, the pace is 110. We're way behind it. We're 73 points behind it on our quest to get to 423 points, 423 things sold from my page, which has 15 designs on it. I will at some point want to hit this goal, and maybe I just have to come up with a Kanye design, a Fergie design, or a different design I have in mind that might be really fucking sick. Anyways, it doesn't matter, because what matters is the accumulation, or the, I guess, I don't know if that's the right word, but those four scores I just read, you add them together. And if at the end of the year, the cutoff, I think, is December 20th, 50 weeks is each year of sessions, because it's usually told on a 2-week delay. And it takes a lot of time at the beginning of the year to get your template right, your new intro, your new artwork, all that shit, your goals. Anyways, if we get, when we get to the deadline, if we get to 2023 points, well, then sessions lives on in the year 2023. And no matter what, I should be at a higher place than I am. And I've been at a higher place each year. It just, I started at rock bottom, and then I barely went up one little notch, and then barely, and I maybe even stayed there through like season, and then finally got a residence in season 4, I think, or at the end of season 3. and it wasn't a great residence, but it was a residence, and it was a granny flat, and I could, it had issue. And then here in season five, this is the year. Like, it says it in the intro, like, this is the fucking year. Return to high stakes. Yeah, I'm still grinding my ass off. It's 11 p.m. on Friday night, the 15th. Well, on the 17th, or is that right? No, on the 18th, Monday, I'm going to be playing the 25-50-100 game. And last time I played on stream, it ended up as 50-100-200. And so I'm going to return to that, and I'm going to get my own place. You don't hear any footsteps above me from a landlord. You don't hear a man above because I'm as high as it gets in this place. And it's, my kids love it, man. They fucking love it that they don't hear that shit. And it's not dirty. And it's not, I can control the climate. I can turn on the air if I want to. I can turn on the heat. We're not there yet, but they love it, man. It's clean. It's modern. It's safe as shit. And like, yeah. So the pace, and anyways, it's just, the story is just, it's a slow rise, but it's happening. And next year should be even sicker. And a lot of you probably, well, you feel like you know me because I've shared everything. So you do know me, and you probably feel like you know my kids, and they were little kids, man. They were little. They were Little Fuego and Little Miss Fuego, and like Little Miss Fuego is about to be a teenager now, and like Little Fuego is a little stud, and like I want to keep doing this shit, man, until I don't know how long. Why not just keep doing it, and like, and then it'll just be cool when you just turn on your TV one day and my daughter's fucking, you know, cutting down the nets at the women's Final Four or something, or my son's a YouTube star and his handle is Little Fuego. Who knows, man? But anyways, all those Patrons got me feeling good. My bad. But the pace is 566 at this juncture, and we have 705 points. So we're getting almost to a comfort zone. We always have a sweat. Anything can happen, but we're getting to a comfort. I'm playing enough hours. I'm winning enough sessions. I'm not selling shit, but I'm getting people that want to hear the whole story. It's like you pay $4.22 a week for a book that just keeps going and going, a life story told in real time, and it's so imperfect, and like it's pretty fucking unabashed and whatever else, and fucking A. So that's what's up. Thank you all. What day is it for you guys? It is Friday. Have a good weekend. And then most likely there'll be two drops on Monday. One for covering the next time that when I play 25-50. I assume it'll be 25-50-100. I've never seen a game not straddled on Hustler Casino Live. And there will be two drops devoted to that. And one will be for Patrons only. And the other one will be public. So whatever. I stretched out very little content into about an hour. And that was what I was trying to do. And I also, I just riffed a little bit because it felt good. And I don't know, I felt good all day. But I'm going to shut the fuck up now. Peace.
Sessions is brought to you by Poker Rags. Poker Rags, we dress poker players. Sessions is also brought to you by the Hustler Casino in Los Angeles. Lowest rake, best food, and craziest action in town. If you would like to have access to every drop of Sessions, over 700 of them and counting, plus access to my other podcast, Solicited Advice Podcast, and or you want to be a part of the sick as fuck community I'm building, DGAF Community, head on over to patreon.com/DGAF Poker Player and sign up to become a patron today.